Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Jack Watts for Jack Watts on Recovery. Until after the election, however, the recovery issues are on the back burner, and we are talking about politics. On Mondays, Jack Watts Live at the same time is always about politics. On Tuesday, however, it's about recovery, but because of the seriousness of this election and the need for change in America, I thought that I would use my time, effort, and energy to just do politics here for until the election. I've got a call right here. I'm going to put somebody on, so hold on for a second. This is Jack Watts. You're on the air. Hello?
Hello?
Yes.
I'm just waiting until your show starts, so.
Hi, is this Jack Watts? Who's calling?
I'm just a listener, so no, this is not Jack.
Well, that's good. Tell me, what's on your mind today?
Nothing right now. I'm just going to listen to your show.
Okay, well, feel free to listen, and I'm going to put you on. Actually, I think I'm just going to leave you on, and if you have something that you want to say as I'm talking about what we're talking about, you just feel free to interject. How's that?
Okay, then I'll put you on mute then, okay? Thank you.
Okay. I remember, and I'm going to go back here a little bit, when Ronald Reagan was running against Jimmy Carter in 1980, it was a very powerful time in America. In 1976, when Carter ran against Gerald Ford, I voted for Jimmy Carter because I was so disappointed in Richard Nixon because of Watergate, because of his inability to just finally get out of Vietnam. And if you think that these wars in Afghanistan and Iran have just dragged on, Afghanistan's actually been longer in time. But there were over 40,000 people who died in the Vietnam War, and the cost to our nation was crippling. Personally, I cannot go to the Vietnam Memorial in Washington and not cry, because I see friends of mine whose names are there. Who didn't get married, who didn't have kids, who don't have grandkids, who don't have the ability in 2012 to say something about the America that they fought and gave their lives for. It was a powerful time. I voted for Carter because he had a message of hope and change. And here he was a born-again Christian, and I thought that after all of the sleaziness of Richard Nixon, that we needed somebody with integrity and somebody that would be ethical and honorable in the White House. Well, what we got was a man who was a micromanager, who didn't like the military, and who, even though he graduated from West Point, who ended up where we, in Iran, they overran our embassy and captured a bunch of our people and held them hostage for a little over a year. And we had runaway inflation, extraordinarily high interest rates. Our economy was falling apart. Our prestige in the world was crumbling. And I felt like a fool. I felt like a fool because I had voted for Jimmy Carter. Now, at the time I was, when that happened, I was living out in a hippie community in California, and the Gerald Ford won the state of California. Back then, Republicans generally won California. Interesting, isn't it? All right. That, as a backdrop, in 1980, I was in a PhD program in international politics at Emory University. And I just happened to be the only person who was in graduate school there who wanted Ronald Reagan to win. He was a cowboy. He was an actor. He had, you know, he had not, you know, blah, 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 blah. He wasn't qualified. He couldn't do this. He couldn't do that. He was an old man. He'd already tried unsuccessfully in 1968 and 1976 to gain the nomination, neither time being able to do it. And here he is, was again in 1980, finally doing it. And the general scuttlebutt was, doggone, the Republicans have a chance to win the White House, but they're not going to be able to do it because they've gone out and, you know, gotten somebody from the extreme right wing. That was what crushed Barry Goldwater in 1964. Nixon was considered a moderate, but Reagan, who was steadfast in his support for Barry Goldwater, was saddled with that. Now, all of that's in backdrop, because when the 1980 presidential debate came on, I remember I went by myself and just with a little TV and sat there, you know, glued, because I wanted Reagan to win, in a sense, to atone for my sin of voting for Jimmy Carter. Now, I mean, obviously it wasn't really a sin, but I felt that way. I felt like I had done the wrong thing and that I had not been diligent enough in seeking out the facts, you know, to do what I'd done. And I was really upset with Gerald Ford for pardoning Richard Nixon. And I didn't like the idea that here we had a guy that was in the presidency had not been elected. As you'll remember, or maybe you don't, when Nixon was president, his vice president, who was elected, was Spiro Agnew, and he resigned in disgrace, and Nixon appointed Gerald Ford to be the vice president. Well, when Nixon resigned, here you have Ford come into the White House as an unelected person, and there was something about that that I really didn't like. All right, so I sat there and I watched the debate. Now, having been in graduate school, getting a master's degree at Baylor University and then going straight on to Emory for a PhD, I'd already finished all of my classwork and was studying for my comprehensive exams when the election came about. And it was like, I looked at this as a man who is in graduate school. So I was looking for facts. And Carter beat him on facts. He just, in my estimation, won that debate hands down over Ronald Reagan. And when it was over, I turned it off and I was crestfallen because intellectually, Carter had won the day. I remember at the time I was married, walking downstairs and seeing my wife, who had watched the debate on another TV, and I said, "Oh, I'm just crushed." I said, "You know, Carter won this thing," and she looked at me. She said, "I don't think he did. I like Ronald Reagan much better," which really surprised me. In the days to come, it became increasingly obvious that more people thought Ronald Reagan had won that debate than Jimmy Carter. The momentum of the election changed dramatically, and Reagan won in a landslide. And I remember thinking afterwards, okay, it isn't just the words, and who knows the most, because we are not Vulcan like Spock. We have emotions, and we are human beings. Fast forward to the debates at hand with Mitt Romney versus Barack Hussein Obama. Now, in the first debate, Romney came out and he was strong and aggressive and assertive, and the president was on his heels from the first moment all the way through the debate, and even the liberal media gave a resounding affirmation that Romney had won this debate over Barack Obama, and that all of this put together changed the momentum of this election, which had been, Romney was, you know, he was there, but he was, you know, he couldn't quite get over the edge, couldn't quite make and seal the deal, and he had very low favorables with women. Okay, that's an important thing to keep in mind now. He had low favorables with women. In the second debate, they both came out, and, you know, it was pretty much a wash. Now we come to last night and the purpose for what I'm saying all of this. Romney came out, and he was strong, and he was pleasant, and he was firm. He was knowledgeable. He was peaceful. Gentle in a certain sense. Barack Obama was belligerent, contemptuous, sneering, but he was knowledgeable. If I went back to my original point about what happened in 1980, it was almost like the same thing happening. There were parts of this where I was impressed with the president's knowledge of what was happening in the world, particularly for a guy who doesn't even go to his intelligence briefing, which are prepared for him every day, missing 62%. I mean, that's like going to homeroom before you start the day in high school. You always go to homeroom first, do you remember? Well, he isn't doing the fundamentals of the job, and I was surprised at his grasp of what was happening. I was also surprised and pleased at the grasp of what Romney knew. I thought he did a whole lot better than he was capable of. But here's the thing. In my person as a man, I wanted him to just jump on Obama about him letting these people die without doing anything about it, and then going to Las Vegas and appearing on guest shows and fundraisers and just not doing the job that he's supposed to be doing. And it just bothered me so badly, and I wanted him to do that. Now, Romney didn't do it. He didn't do anything like that. When they were talking about Israel, I wanted Romney to say, Mr. President, you have said that U.S. policy is for Israel to go back to its pre-1967 war borders, which would give up the Golan Heights and make Israel indefensible. Obama said that is U.S. policy. Now, he said it was U.S. policy, and Israel said, well, you can say that all you want, but we aren't going to do it. And, you know, that has, more than anything, created this space between Israel and the Obama administration. Not Israel and the American people, but Israel and the Obama administration and its kind of favoritism of the Arab Spring. And when they got into that stuff, I kind of thought Romney would go after him on it, but he didn't. And I thought about that all day. Was I disappointed? Well, not really. Romney looked presidential. Obama didn't. Obama is the president, and Romney isn't. The people out there are looking at these two people and saying, who is a leader and who is not? And here's the thing that I think is what happened. Romney looked like someone that women could trust with our safety and our security. There is a huge gender gap between women who support Obama and women who support Romney. And the reason is that the Obama machine has demonized this man for so long and said he was an out-of-touch rich guy who, would put his dog on top of the car and it didn't have any problem firing people, and, you know, if it disrupted their lives, well, who cares? Profit's more important. And just all of the things that make women who are nesters, in a sense, and want strong families, loathe. So they're much more supportive of Obama than of Romney. Now, here's what I'm suggesting. In the days ahead, in just the next few days, I believe that the gender gap between Romney and Obama, which has been tightening, is going to completely disappear. I do not believe for one minute that Obama's performance, particularly where women are concerned, will resonate. It will do the same thing that Carter, who was, he wasn't quite as snarly as Obama was last night, but he definitely was contemptuous of Ronald Reagan, and Ronald Reagan was just a strong man in the room, and Carter looked like a wimpy little weasel. That's kind of what happened last night. That's how I see it. Romney was strong, he was presidential, and Obama was like a guy looking, I put up a post on Facebook and I said, that reminds me of a look of someone who is sitting across the table during a contentious divorce, that kind of hatred look, loathing, contempt, sneering, malice, none of that will resonate with women. It makes them want to leave the room. Now, guys makes them want to fight, makes them want to fight back, makes them want to say things. But Romney already has a huge advantage with men over Obama. What he needed to do was close the gender gap, and he did. I think, looking at it, that it was masterful, and that it is going to seal the deal for him being the next president of the United States. And I am predicting that Romney is going to get 315 electoral votes, which will be a blowout. In addition to the states that have been secure for a long time, like my state of Georgia and Texas and Alabama and Mississippi, the whole South, Romney is going to win the 29 votes in Florida, the 15 votes, these are electoral votes, by the way, in North Carolina. He's going to win Virginia. He's going to win one New England state, New Hampshire. That's four electoral votes. He's going to win Ohio. I believe he's also going to win Pennsylvania. He may, frankly, have a better chance of winning Pennsylvania than he even does of Ohio. He's going to win Indiana and Wisconsin and Iowa and Colorado and Arizona. All of these, and Montana, all of these have been states that have been at least the battleground states. I don't know whether he can win Nevada because the Republican Party is in such disarray there, even though the state of Nevada has the highest unemployment rate in the nation, and the highest home foreclosure rate in the nation. I believe that it's in their best interest to vote for Romney, but who knows whether that will happen or not. Now, if this happens, this is going to be a huge momentum-building time for Romney to do exactly what he wants to do, to turn the economy of this nation around, and there will be a honeymoon period of 6 months to a year, and we'll see what happens then. Hang on a second, Richard. You made it. Are you on, Dick? You're on the air.
I forgot about the call because I was watching the Five and how they are going after Obama, and it was quite interesting.
I'll bet it is interesting. I have just been telling everybody that. That this is reminiscent of what happened in 1980, and even though when I was in graduate school, and I was looking at who was the most knowledgeable, I think that Carter beat Ronald Reagan on his knowledge, based upon being an egghead in graduate school. And in some ways, Obama, was very knowledgeable last night, but he definitely was contemptuous and
arrogant.
You know, arrogant. Yeah, and reminded me of some guy who's just bitter with his ex-wife. You know, going through a divorce thing. It just, you know, just that look on his face, which will turn off millions of women. And
we've never had that. We've never had that problem, have we?
Yeah.
You or I? We've never had that problem, though.
Oh yeah, that's you know that. Yeah. How do I know that? Oh yes, I do know that. Look, don't I? All right. So I'm thinking that unless something, you know, if all things are equal, which of course they aren't, and this election just plays out for the next 2 weeks, that Romney's going to win, and he's going to win a lot of states. I think he's going to also pick up Pennsylvania as well as Ohio, North Carolina, Virginia, Florida, Wisconsin, Iowa, Colorado, Arizona, all of the swing states, essentially, he's going to pick
up. You know what Obama's biggest mistake was?
What?
Having these debates.
You got to say that a little clearer. We couldn't hear. What was it?
Him having the going to these debates. He should have stayed home.
Well, the thing is that after he lost the first debate and lost it resoundingly, and there was this long period of time before the second presidential debate, because everybody knows that the vice presidential thing doesn't mean anything. And, you know, here you have, you know, laughing, you know, Joe Biden, you know, who was wrong about a half a dozen things, and, you know, sitting there with a very measured Ryan, who did a good, incredible job. I mean, but it didn't mean anything. The second debate was kind of a wash, but here last night, Mitt Romney just looked like the man in the room with, it was almost like Obama was his sidekick, and this was some kind of little, almost like a Saturday Night Live skit. Is Romney just doing something and being strong and confident and assertive and knowledgeable? And here you've got this other guy just like, you know, rambling and raging about this, that, and the other. And as I see it, that's pretty much what happened. Now, what have you, as you've been talking to people and everything, what is your take on this?
Well, I personally think that I thought Romney won it last night. Of course, you listen to the Democrats and they think just the opposite. But
well,
I think
they
you're right.
It. I mean, you know, what else are they going to say? They already said once, well, you know, Obama lost.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, they can't, what are they going to do? They have no choice.
Yeah.
And to say, well, you know, Romney looked more presidential would do what? It would make him, it's like saying, well, we give up.
Yeah.
And they're not about to do that. I mean,
no.
I'd say if
not
anything
yet.
Now, it's, you know, this isn't time to spike the football. This is the time to double down on effort and stick with ideas. This is what's going to happen. These are the things that need to happen to get America back on track and be cautious about having this election stolen by fraud, because this is very possible given the kind of people. You know, I talk about the countenance of the way
Chicago
people look. You take a look at David Axelrod, and I want to tell you something. He looks like a little rat, and that's exactly what he is, a little rat. At any rate, you know, I'm very pleased at what happened last evening, and I'm predicting that Romney is going to get 315 electoral votes, and I posted it on Facebook, so people will look at it, and trust me, I will hear about it. At any rate, we're out of time. We'll talk to you next Monday.
God bless you, and God bless the United States of America.